Father, I thank you for the opportunity to feed your sheep tonight. I thank you, Father God, that our hearts are open wide to receive the word. I thank you, Father, that your angelic hosts are walking to and fro throughout these chairs. I thank you, Father, that you love us enough not to leave us nor forsake us. And Father God, right now, tonight, we're placing ourselves into your hands and asking you to complete the work you started in us. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, I just entitled this, The Glory is Real. Because the body of Christ doesn't believe that. And the body of Christ is playing around with it. And the body of Christ is in a lot of danger right now. There's some people that's going to lose their salvation right now because they have not heeded the word of the Lord and they haven't started to work on their holiness walk. I mean, that's just the way it is. Let's look at Revelation 3. You know, God's always told me that we were the Philadelphia church from the first day we opened the door. So let's look at this. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Now, you could be anywhere and be part of the Philadelphia church, you know. It says, and Jesus said, because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more, and I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Verse 11 says, behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. It wasn't too long ago when I was preaching, God quietly said to me, daughter, don't let any man take your crown. And so I'm asking you that tonight. Don't let anyone take your crown. You stay on the path that God has placed your feet upon. It doesn't matter what anybody's saying about you or doing, what they're doing. You know what God's calling you to do. Now you stay on the path that he's called you to be on. The glory of Jesus, God said, the glory of my church shall be great, and also the temptations from the enemy to turn my people from my paths. The glory of my church shall be great, and also the temptations from the enemy to turn my people from my paths. And I can just about say that everybody in here knows that the devil has come to you with more temptations recently than he has for quite some time. Now, at this juncture of our lives with Christ, we must understand that the Father has come down to earth and the new move of God is already here. It isn't going to come, it's already here. Exodus 19:11 says, and let them be ready for the third day, for on the third day the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. And how many of you has God said, you're going to see me face to face? That doesn't mean you're going to literally see his face. That means you're going to have a great encounter with a father. Before we had the last revival, God spoke and said to me, when we started revival, it would never stop. Right? We are seeing a little bit of his miracles right now, but he has so much more he wants to do through us. You know, the revival has not really stopped because every service God is doing something, but this isn't even near what God wants to do. Warfare is brewing and rising up. We must be on guard and be prepared for whatever comes our way. We cannot be walking a compromising walk. Our walk must be steadfast and secure. The devil does not want you to succeed, but God does. This is a word God spoke to me, and it also applies to each and every one of you, and I want you to listen to it because it does apply to each one of you. June the 30th, he says, "Heads up, little one, for you are on a collision course with the enemy, and he is out for the attack to kill. Each one of you are there too. He has many hordes of hell on assignment to destroy you at all cost. His main objective is to take you out, and then he will have others fall. Every one of you, there's people watching your walk, and if you fall, they fall too. Are you listening? Stand tall and stand firm, little one, for my angelic host have been sent on assignment to keep you safe from the enemy. There is absolutely nothing they will not do to keep you safe." Same applies to each one of you. They have their orders from headquarters, and they always obey their orders. My holy hill is where I want you to stand always. Never compromise your walk with me. I know I am using your mouthpiece to say things that blow your mind, but little one, they must be said and they must be reckoned with by my people. So how many times have I told you God is going to have you say things to people and you're not really going to want to say them, but you have to say them because you're the only mouthpiece that God can use. All right? I am with you and the angelic host have you covered. Stay firm in your convictions and never back down. I love you, little one, and I will not stand idly by and watch you be destroyed. Love your heavenly Father. Now, each one of you know you can apply this prophetic word to yourself. God's no respecter of persons. And each and every one of us in here are under a terrible attack right now from the enemy, and you need to understand that God is with you, and he's for you. He's not against you. All right? Now, Job 10:12 says, "Thou hast granted me life and favor, and thy visitation has preserved my spirit." Whatever you do, do not miss your... Whatever you do, do not miss your day of visitation. Job said, "Thou hast granted me life and favor, and thy visitation has preserved my spirit." So then I'm saying to you, whatever you do, do not miss your day of visitation. God has been warning us of that we could do that. 1 Peter 5:6-9, "Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." He does care for you. Don't ever let the devil tell you he doesn't. "Be sober, be vigilant," because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. "Resist him steadfast in the path, in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. God has come down as the latter rain." He's already come down as the latter rain. Hosea 6:3 says, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. He is going forth. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and the former rain to the earth. All right. He's already started with the latter rain. Some are saying this move will last for 7 to 8 years. And I was thinking that when I started, that move lasts for about 27 years. So I can believe this will last for 7 or 8, even more years that God is doing now. God will be speaking out of the cloud openly. He has come to reap the harvest. Numbers 14:13. And Moses said to the Lord, then the Egyptians will hear it. For by your might you brought these people up from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. They have heard that you, Lord, are among these people, that you, Lord, are seen face to face, and your cloud stands above them, and you go before them in a pillar of cloud by day and in a pillar of fire by night. And you know, we need to get this understanding in our spirit. And Moses said to the Lord, then the Egyptians will hear it, for by your might you brought these people up from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, they have heard that you, Lord, are among these people, that you, Lord, are seen face to face, and your cloud stands above them, and you go before them in a pillar of cloud by day and in a pillar of fire by night. This is what God is. People are watching you. And you're bragging about what a great God you serve. You know, God wanted to kill these people. This is what this scripture is all about here. And then Moses said, no, if you do that, then this is what... But you've been bragging about your God and how wonderful he is. And so they're watching to see if your God is really real. And they're watching to see if you really mean what you say. Church, it's time that we are a light unto a dark, dark world. It's time that our lives are like Jesus' life. And that every place we go, the enemy has to bow his knee. And people know that we walk with God. All right? If you will persevere, then you can sing Isaiah 55, 12, 13. And that you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. You can go around singing that song. You remember, we're supposed to sing the scriptures to ourselves, right? Singing that song. You can walk around in confidence, knowing that God is with you, that he's going to stay with you. He's not going to leave you nor forsake you, and whatever he promised you is definitely going to come to pass. I want you to really get this in your spirit tonight, because God is getting ready to do a great move, and I don't want anybody to miss out on this move. 2 years ago, God spoke to me and said, Jezebel's back in the church. She sure is. Jezebel is very destructive, and she's out to kill the prophets. I am seeing a lot of teachings coming forth about how to destroy Jezebel and her daughters and Leviathan. This is God trying to help us overcome this terrible entity. And God used that word, so I looked it up. An entity is that which is perceived or known or inferred to have its own distinct existence, living or non-living. And Jezebel does have her own distinct existence. Leviathan is, as described in the dictionary, the largest or most massive thing of its kind. It was a Leviathan among redwoods, monstrous sea creature symbolizing evil in the Old Testament. Jezebel and Leviathan are terrible spirits, and everybody's talking about them right now. And you know, when I first was born again, everybody was talking about them then too. Now we're starting a new dispensation here. We have Jezebel and Leviathan right there heading up the race. We're going to have to learn about them, and we're going to have to learn how to defeat them and stay free from them. All right? I read this prophetic word the other day, and it said, the season of glory fire has come. Fire walkers arise. Fire chariots and horsemen of heaven. Recently, one morning, the Lord brought me into a vision. I saw the fire chariots and horsemen of heaven. They were terrifying, amazing, and beautiful, and had now arrived in the skies of earth once again. These chariots and horsemen were the same type of chariots that took Elijah up in a whirlwind, and I watched in awe as they rode into the skies over the earth. This is happening right now. These chariots and horsemen of fire were positioned over specific areas in the sky all over the globe. As each of these chariots and horsemen rode across the skies of their appointed regions, they released Holy Spirit fire whirlwinds into the earth below. They released Holy Spirit fire whirlwinds into the earth below. I watched as these whirlwinds blew throughout the various nations and lands on the earth, causing revival fire to ignite in every corner and on every continent. And that is going to happen. Revival is going to just blow everywhere. A tsunami of Holy Spirit fire. All of a sudden, the whirlwinds met up and became a tsunami of Holy Spirit fire, a massive wave of glory fire. I watched as this wave began to hit not just the land, but the people. Instead of the wave crashing and washing over onto the shores of the land like you picture when you think of water, when this tsunami wave of fire hit the people of God, it turned their robes into fire. See this? As I watched them begin to burn with the glory fire of the Spirit, I heard the Lord say. Now this is all what God said. The time of my burning ones has come, and God has been calling us to be fire carriers, has he not? The time of my burning ones has come. I am calling forth the season of fire. I am calling for the rise of my intimate friends. I am calling those who will walk in my deep fire, those who would be clothed in my fire, those who would become consumed by my fire. God has been dealing with us for about a year and a half now about this fire, and he keeps saying fire, fire, fire. He wants this church to be the fire carriers that we're talking about, that he's talking about here. I have sent a new fire upon the land that has never been seen, never been known before. It is a fresh outpouring of my spirit, my majesty, and my love. It will not be quenched. Isn't that what God told us? What we're going to go through is something we've never seen or heard about before. And here this young man here got this just the other day. It is a transforming fire, and wave after wave will come, and all will know a measure of it and be transformed by it. Not just the people, but the land will also be overcome by my glory fire. That is going to be absolutely awesome. There are those who will hear my call, those who will press in deeper and be commissioned as fire wave releasers. These deep, intimate friends, these wave releasers, are you listening? You have to be a deep friend of God, then you have to be a wave releaser. We'll begin to create with the Spirit wave after wave of my fire, transforming the landscape of every place they go, as they personally encounter and walk with me like never before. As they personally, each one of you in here tonight, each one of us, have to have our own personal relationship with God. You can't ride on anybody else's coattail. It's you and God or no fire. It's what it amounts to. All right? And God's saying, whatever you're playing with, get rid of it. Let the fire quench it. Burn it up. Their life is marked with my robes of fire, and as they walk with me, they release embers of my glory fire in their wake. As you walk with God, your fire will grow brighter and brighter and brighter. They will be clothed with me and will become ignition switches to the world around them. I will send them to the uttermost parts of the earth, into every mountain of society, every sphere of influence. I will send them to the heart of the desolate places, and they will set those places ablaze with my love. All right? The invitation has gone out, and the trumpet has been sounded. And God, that's what God had us sound the trumpet on Sunday. When the angels are coming in, God said, sound the trumpet and bring the angels in. So we've done that. It's done here. All right? We're not waiting on that. Rise up, sons and daughters. Cross now into the season of fire. Awaken to a new revelation, a new depth of fiery transforming intimacy with me. For the chariots and horsemen of Israel will come in whirlwinds of fire and carry you into my presence, and you will become the catalyst for the nations to awaken a fresh revelation of my love and goodness. This world that we're going to have to minister to is going to have to know this, the love and the goodness of God. And the only way they're going to know that is if it's being poured out from you. Wherever you go, you have to be pouring that love out. No matter who you encounter, you have to pour that love out into them. Now, I didn't say you're going to save everybody. All right? But we are required to pour that love out to everybody. The season of my glory fire has been released upon the earth. The tsunami has now come ashore, and the earth will never be the same. Then he says, let my fire walkers arise. That's one of the things that God's talking to you guys about tonight. Are you going to be a fire walker? And I don't mean just tonight. I don't just mean in the sound of my voice. I mean from the time you hear it right now until the time Jesus takes you home, you have to be a fire walker. You have to persevere. You have to keep going. You can't go back into your old lifestyle. You just cannot do that. It won't work. All right, I have a question. Why isn't the fire of God falling on you? You knew I was going to get that somewhere, didn't you? Amen. Jeremiah 29:13, you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. As I was typing that, I thought about, you know, Brother Brett did his first teaching Monday night, and I never thought about praise and worship, and I said, God, I really feel bad. And he said, ask and you shall have. And they didn't ask, did they, he said. So they didn't have. He wanted me to quit feeling bad about it. You know what I'm saying? So Jeremiah 29:13, you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. Now, Wilbur Reese wrote, I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. Not enough to explode my soul or disturb my sleep, but just enough to equal a cup of warm milk or a snooze in the sunshine. I want ecstasy, not transformation. I want the warmth of the womb, not a new birth. I want a pound of the eternal in a paper sack, but I would like to buy 3 pounds of God, please. That's the church, isn't it? The church doesn't want all of God. They just want 3 pounds of God. Amen? Just enough to slide by. Just enough to slide into heaven. But you know what? That little 3 pound might not get you into heaven, right? You might miss home base if you don't have all of God. Very few are truly hungry and thirsty for God. Although most of us quote Matthew 5:6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they should be filled. Very few have experienced this verse. So I said, although most of us quote Matthew 5:6, very few have experienced this verse. In Philippians 3:10, Paul said he wanted to know Christ in the power of his resurrection and in the fellowship of his suffering. He just didn't want to know the good parts. He wanted to know everything about Christ. He wanted to be everything Christ was, be part of that. In Psalm 27:4, David cried out, one thing I have asked from the Lord that I will seek after, for me to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. How many of you cry that out, continue, God, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life until you take me on home. I don't want to dwell anyplace else but in your presence. I don't care about anything else but your presence. Amen. Come on. David said, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. How about you? I want you to really think about these things, because I really don't want you to miss this glory drop. Hungering and thirsting for God is an all-consuming passion that drives every aspect of life. God's word tells us those who truly thirst or seek him with all their heart will be satisfied. You will be. But you're going to have to persevere. You're going to have to keep pressing in and pressing in and pressing in. And you're going to think God isn't listening, but he's listening and he's watching. And he knows your heart. So that's the key. He knows your heart. He knows whether or not you're just acting or you're really dead serious. God's word tells us those who truly thirst, seek him with all of their heart, will be satisfied. This is not partial obedience. It is full surrender. Come on. How many of you have not yet, don't put up your hands or anything, but how many of you have not yet fully surrendered to God? You're not going to be able to be used by God if you don't fully surrender, and surrender soon. 100% surrender. Come on. It is not trying to squeeze God in. It is about allowing him to fully saturate every aspect of our lives. Ironically, we can have the letter of the law, but not the heart of Christ. We can break down the Bible, but hearts remain as hard as stone. We rule our homes with a rod of iron, but know nothing about compassion, gentleness, and humility. We come to church to judge rather than to truly seek God. Phariseeism prevents us from truly knowing God. We justify actions by saying, I'm just passionate. But it is not passion, it is arrogance. Church, we're not right. And God's trying to get us right. And I'm not judging you, I'm not condemning you. I'm just trying to teach you something tonight, that we are not yet where the God wants us to be. We have not yet gotten into the fullness of who he is and where he wants us to be. Some of us have gotten there and stayed for a second and back out again. We have to remain there constantly. I was reading an article, and the God was saying something about this person was going to go through a new deliverance type thing. But what it all amounted to was God was going to change their life. And he said people had to start spending, not she, but people had to start spending more time in prayer and everything. And she said, God, I just don't have the time to do that. He said, yes, you do. He said, as you're sitting at your computer, you can be talking to me. Haven't we said that? As you're driving down the road, you can be talking to me. As you're scrubbing your floor, you can be talking to me. You know, she was saying, God, I don't have time to stop for an hour to sit in your presence. He said, I didn't ask you to do that. And yeah, it was a really neat article, and then I thought, that's all, but I've But he's always told me, and that's what I've been telling you. Your mind has to be stayed on Christ at all times. Then you're in his presence. If your mind is stayed on Christ at all times, then he can speak to you anytime. And he'll speak to you at the weirdest times. You might be questioning him about something for a week, and he has an answer, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, when you're doing the dumbest thing, and he starts telling you all about what you wanted to know. All right? So let's just start doing this the right way. You know, religion will kill you. Trying to follow a pattern will kill you. You know, we have to be normal. We are normal people. We have to function like normal people. But if we just go ahead and have God a top priority in our minds 24/7, things will turn out just fine. How many of you going to sleep and got awake still talking to God? You know, and he's answering you after you fell asleep and got awake. Your mind is stayed upon him, and he has the opportunity to talk to you even while you're sleeping. He'll wake you up so you can hear what he has to say. Amen. There are those who have replaced conviction for compromise. That's one word God's been telling me for years. Daughter, never compromise. And he had my daughter who lives in Arkansas call me one day and said, Mom, God said to tell you, never compromise. I said, I'm not, honey. She said, well, he told me to tell you that. Just don't forget. You know, it must have been something that God saw. And so he wanted to reinforce it through her. If you find yourself saying, I'm just not convicted, it may be time for self-evaluation. In other words, you know, if a message is going forth and really you are in the wrong and you're sitting there all pious, you know, that's not me. Well, you might have to start evaluating yourself. Amen. I was just saying the other day to somebody, I said, you know, every message I preach, what I want to preach is one thing, but what people are doing is an entirely different thing. And God has to get somebody's attention or the whole church's attention. So he'll have me put together something to get the people's attention. And wait till you get to preaching. He'll do the same thing to you, and he'll say, boy, I'm so sorry I judged Pastor Barbara. Because I'm going to tell you the truth, I don't stay awake wondering what I can preach to tell you you're wrong. I really don't do that because I really don't know what you're doing most of the time anyhow, and it's your walk, not mine. I have too many other things to keep me occupied than sit around and think I can put together a message just to speak to you. Right? So just always remember that your mind has to be stayed on Christ, not on the gossip in the church. Not on what somebody's doing to you. You know, come on. All right, so there are those who have replaced conviction with compromise. If you find yourself saying, I'm not convicted, it may be time for self-evaluation. If one is offended by a call to holiness or humility, it may be a good indication that repentance needs to be sought. And a lot of people do get upset because we preach holiness and humility. They do. I don't know why she's always preaching that. Well, you got a problem. I will preach it until you get it right is what it amounts. I have found out over the years. God will have me preach the same thing over and over and over again. And I thought, God, how many different ways can I put this sermon together? You see what I'm saying? And when you get to minister to people, you'll find that you're going to be in the very same boat. And God keeps preaching it until you get it together. And I'll be up here, have a message all together, and all of a sudden he goes on a side road. And then later on, I said, why did you take me there? And then he'll tell me who in the church was down that side road. And he had to get their attention. You've heard me say that was a freebie. Now we go back to the sermon. Well, somebody in the house had to hear that. And so God took me down the side road to say it, then brought me back again. Right? Come on. You know, once you really get close to God, and once you hear God's voice, you will understand all of this. When you really walk super duper close to God, and you're not worrying about somebody else, what somebody else is doing. All you're concerned about is your walk with God and how he wants to use you. You understand everything you've been hearing down through the years. But if you're still out there trying to blow your own horn and trying to think, all right, I know that sermon was just for me. You know, you're never going to walk close to God. The devil's going to sit there and tell you, see, they're talking about you again. God just told me to tell you that. Far from it. Far from it, right? That's not true. That's the devil, because he knows that you can be hurt there in that area. All right, then. Holiness is a mark of conviction in a surrendered life. Holiness is not an option like a choice in a buffet line. It's not an option. Not anymore. Holiness is the mark of someone who is genuinely filled with the Spirit of God. Hebrews 12:14 tells us, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. That's the Bible. That's not me. And I'm not nipping my nose into your business. God is. Without holiness, you can't. I don't care if you prophesy. I don't care if you heal the sick. I don't care what you do. If you don't have holiness, you're not going to see God. You're just not. The lukewarm church disdains the heart of conviction, thus it remains lukewarm. Lukewarm knows nothing of holiness, surrender, and a spirit-filled life. It may have a form of godliness, but it denies God by its lifestyle, 2 Timothy 3:5. Do you know how many people call me or email, say, I wish you would come up here and preach, because we don't hear none of that, and it's in the Word. There's no spirit in our church that, you know. Well, if I was that person, I'd be praying really hard for God to put the Spirit in the church. And if even if they have to use that person, come on. If you know a church is lukewarm or no spirit, pray for God to send a spirit-filled person in there to bring the Spirit in there. Don't just sit around and watch them die on the vine. I know I've been to a lot of churches and there was no spirit there, and I prayed for them, and I still pray for them, that God would, you know, would open up the pastor's heart or somebody's heart in the church and let them really be walking in the Spirit and let the really, Spirit of God really move. All right? And you need to do the very same thing. Everybody you know that is not serving God the way they ought, instead of coming against them and to their face, you should take it before the Father and ask the Father to send somebody their way to minister to them the truth. And not everybody's going to receive. So drop that right now. Not everybody's going to receive. I tried to get everybody saved. Didn't you try to get everybody saved? You worked yourself to death. And God said, you're not me and you're not the Holy Spirit. If we can't do it, you can't do it either. All you do is give them the Word, love them, and keep on going. What they do with that Word is totally up to them. You don't compromise your walk, though, just because they don't want to receive God in all of His fullness. You keep walking your path that God has placed your feet upon. See, and this is what happens too. Husbands will do it, wives will do it. Because, let's say, because the husband isn't serving God, the wife will start compromise, or just vice versa. You should never do that. You should stand your ground and keep serving God and still keep loving, you know, but keep serving God. Who knows? The Bible said, who knows? You might just save that person. And that, I don't know where that's at, but I know it's in there. All right. So I said, it may have a, let's see here. The lukewarm church disdains a heart of conviction, thus it remains lukewarm. And the church is a person, but there is a church in the Bible that's called lukewarm. Lukewarm knows nothing of holiness, surrender, and a spirit-filled life. It may have a form of godliness, but it denies God by its lifestyle. You know, you might go around and say, I'm born again. I speak in tongues. But what's your lifestyle say? You're out there smoking a pot, smoking cigarettes, cussing up a storm. You sound worse than the world. You know, come on. You're denying the power of Christ when you do all that kind of stuff. Charles Spurgeon wrote, there will be three effects of nearness to Jesus, which is humility, happiness, and holiness. When you see a person has humility, happiness, and holiness, they're walking close with God, is what he's saying. The fire of God, the manifest presence of God, does not fall on an empty altar. The fire of God, the manifest presence of God, does not fall on an empty altar. Romans 12:1 states, I urge you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service of worship. I urge you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service of worship. Genuine faith is reflected in sincere humility, selfless love, true repentance, and a surrendered life. Are y'all still with me? Are you growing by leaps and bounds? Or sitting there saying, I should have stayed in the traffic tie-up? Come on. We're going to change if it kills you. We're going to be everything God has called us for it to be. I don't care what it takes. Don't you want that? Don't you want to be a peculiar person? What did we read the other night? He felt Ezekiel was a different man than all the other people around. And God's looking for that different man or that different woman. The fire is here, but the fire of God is not just going to automatically fall upon you. You're going to have to desire it with all your heart. And that desire is going to have to flow out of your innermost parts. My question was, why don't you have the fire? That's what the question was. Then I went into all this. So the fire is here, but the fire of God is not just going to automatically fall upon you. You're going to have to desire it with all your heart, and that desire is going to have to flow out of your innermost parts. But as you have that desire too, you're going to have to change. God said, if you'll just have the willingness to change, I can change you. He said, but some don't even have the willingness to change. So if you're willing to change, God is willing to work with you, and God can change you. All right, we have Bradley in our home, all right? You know, he was on all kind of drugs. He was really messed up. God had me take him into my home off the street. Well, he had all these court things he was facing, so he went to all these courts, and God didn't put him in jail. Well, he spent 30 days. God didn't want him to go to jail at all. He said, but I'll serve 30 days, so he got 30 days. But God didn't want him in there at all. But now, lo and behold, here he is. He can't get any help anywhere. This man was on all these drugs. He spent 30 days in prison going through, what do you call that, you know, detox. And then they gave him this shot where if you do try drugs, you get sick. And so he was crying out, I need help before this shot wears off. And now the poor boy's walking around. He can't get any help, period. Now, that's not right. So my cry to God is, God, why is he not getting any help? You told me you did not want him in jail. You didn't want him in the court system. You wanted him out so you could use him. And this, tonight I said to him, hi, Bradley, how are you? He said, fine. I said, are you fighting? He said, I'm fighting with everything I have. And he started to cry. Yeah, because his body is wanting the drugs again, you know. Because he's been on drugs since he's been, I think somebody said, 9 years old, and he's 30 now. Heavy, 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 heavy drugs. And now all of a sudden, no drug. But then, see, no help from doctors either. Nothing. And my heart's cry and your heart's cry is, God, what are you going to do with this young man? You said take him in. You said you didn't want him in the system. You said you were going to clean him up. So, God, and we've been trying to do deliverances on him, but you know, he's so abused and scattered and broken inside that we have to be careful that we don't make him get more broken. So it's really a very delicate situation. And then see, I'm saying, God, and I know it, he doesn't like to be around me because the spirits in him don't like me, and they surface and act up, but because of his condition, we have to be careful with him. So, and I said, God, I'm tired of this. But yes, God said you have to be gentle and loving, and you just can't, boom, like a bull go in there. And I think about, you know, this other pastor who was totally mentally insane. They were going to reduce him to a two-year-old so they can control him. And a Baptist pastor went into the mental hospital, laid hands on his head and said, God, give him his right mind, and walked away. Just like that, he has a whole right mind. Then he had to run and hide so they wouldn't reduce him to a two-year-old. So he has one certificate that said he's mentally, totally mentally ill. Another certificate saying he's mentally sane now, you know. So, all right, God, so one of my stories here. God, why don't you do that to Bradley? Is there not enough fire? Is there not enough power? Is there not enough anointing? But, you know, he can't deal with me when I get near him. He stays, you know, from here to there away from me, and we'll talk. But he's slowly moving because that thing's surfaced and he starts acting out. God, why? What is it that we can't be, any of us can't be just like Jesus? We walk into the room, that thing has to leave. It can't do anything but leave. Are you understanding this? And this is why I put together this message. I told Larry, I said, it seems scattered, but I've just got to get all this in here somewhere where it makes sense. And because We need to have the power of Jesus in us, that when we come in contact with somebody like that, that them devils have to go, have to go, have to go. But he's walking in so much fear. He's so afraid that we are going to hurt him, you know, mentally, are going to hurt him mentally. And so he's afraid to let us go any deeper than what we do. I would say, Jesus, you need to show up. So what are we not doing? See, when I preach, I preach to myself too. What are we not doing that we don't know the power and the authority that demon has to leave? And I even said to God, I said, God, he's sleeping in my house right down the hallway in his bedroom. And I'm here and I have you and me and he's still bound. That's not right. Not right. Something's not right. See, I'm hungering and I'm thirsting for an answer here. I'm going to get it. It has to be really soon now. Because I can't stand it. I mean, that boy's suffering terrible. Because he can't go back to drugs because now he's on probation. You know? If he goes on back on drugs, y'all know what that does to him. He needs prayer. He needs God to fall upon him. I tell him, God, when he's in that little room down there sleeping, just fall upon him. And I pray the angels in there, you can deliver him tonight. I know they can. I've seen it happen. I've seen God deliver people overnight, instantly. This is what bothers me. When we used to have the anointing all the time, people would walk in there bound and they'd leave unbound and never get bound again. They were totally, completely set free. What is the difference now? Are you asking yourself these questions? Are you engulfed with the pain of other people but all you do is cry to God, they need to be free. God, what can I do? God, where should I go, you know, in you? What is there I'm missing in you that I can't set these people free? You know, is there not enough God in me that can't set that person free? Because I don't set anybody free. The anointing does. See, until you get that hungry and you get that thirsty that you want to see the bound up people free, you're not sold out to God yet. You're not. You're not surrendered to him because you're too tied up with your own self. God, wake me up. Pray for Bradley. Pray for this one. I have a few in my house are messed up. Pray for this and I'm tired. Get up and pray for them. I get up and I pray for them. How hungry and thirsty are you to see souls set free? Ask yourself that. Ethan, was you bound at one time? Are you thirsting and hungry to see other ones set free like you were? See, if you are, you'll really cry out to God and say, God, do for me what you did for them. You know, and I have this cancer in my face and used to be when the anointing was, you know, that people come here with cancer in their body, on their body, and it would automatically, not automatically. God was supernaturally clearing my, God, why aren't you doing me? You know what I'm saying? That we're missing the fire. We're missing the true, true, true anointing of God. And until we get it together, and I'm not saying you have to get it together for me to get together. I'm crying out for me to get together. You can do your own crying out, all right? But I'm just telling you, there's something in us. We're missing a point here somewhere. Because we're supposed to be a hospital. But what's that sign say? Something about a storm out there, refuge in a storm. If you don't have the anointing flowing all the time, you're not a refuge. It might be a little bit of leaf over your head for the don't get wet. But you're not a refuge. Come on, guys. It's time you let go of all the things of the world. I don't know what else I can let go of, but all the things in the world. Yes, I do. I have to clean up my closet so I can let others, because others are moving in, you know. And I have all these clothes and all these closets. A lot of them have price tags still on them. And so I'm supposed to be giving these clothes away, you know. So I have about six boxes, big boxes with my clothes. I fold up and said, we'll put it in storage. Isn't that awful? So I told Teresa, I have a whole closet downstairs of clothes. And I said, I don't want to look at them. You go down and get them and carry them down to the church. I don't care what you do with them. I have to let go of my clothes. I have to surrender those things. Because I'm not always going to be fat, is what I'm trying to say. You know, God is going to heal this mess, whatever it is. But, you know, is that what I have to get rid of? I don't know. Maybe you'll tell me tonight after all this mess that just came up. So you search your heart. Do I really want to bring in the harvest? Do I really want you to bring the harvest into the house of God or in my presence, in my home, and where I'll have enough power and authority to set them free? It's up to you. You'll get exactly what you want from God. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Squeak through the door. But God is asking you to be a fire carrier tonight. And if you want God to touch you, you know, all right, here's what he told me. The altar call tonight is only for those who are hungry and thirsty and those who want God's fire to engulf their very being. He told me, he said, that's the only ones I want. The altar call tonight is only for those who are hungry and thirsty and those who want God's fire to engulf their very being. And what that, he said, what that means is you're dying to self totally and completely, and you're committing yourself to God, telling him you're going to walk in complete holiness and humility, and you will carry his fire wherever he takes you. That's what that means. So if you're going to do total surrender, now you just can't just say you're going to do it and not do it. If you're going to do total surrender, then come on up here. And you will become a fire carrier, I can guarantee you that. Every one of you in here, you're going to minister to people at some point in your life really soon. You're leaders, and God is getting you prepared to carry that anointing to the nations.